This is a Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. Coming up this hour.
The Fed decides. Today we get the first interest rate decision since President-elect Donald Trump's victory.
Johnson & Johnson abandons its $27 billion bid for Swiss drug maker Actelion.
As Gary Cohn heads for the White House, Goldman Sachs names not one but two successors.
Donald Trump takes his thank you tour to Wisconsin, and the government ethics office weighs in on his plan to separate himself from his businesses. I'm Nathan Pager. Those stories and more coming up.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Knicks, Rangers, and Islanders all lost. Knicks after a comeback in Phoenix fell in overtime. Rangers beaten by Chicago. Islanders lost to Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by CGMA, the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation, bringing strategic insight to your finance team and providing the skills you need to turn risk into opportunity. Learn more at cgma.org/radio.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are little change. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. So is the FTSE 100, and the CAC in Paris is down 0.5%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan, it is little change. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was as well. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.44%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 61 cents to $52.36 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $4.20 to $11.63.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.0629, the yen 115.17.
This is the day the Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting where policymakers are expected to raise interest rates by 25 basis points. Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee is covering the story for us from Washington.
Expect Fed officials to ratify the market's expectation of a quarter-point rate hike to a range of 0.5 to 0.75%. Beyond that, don't bet on much. Donald Trump's call for tax cuts and infrastructure spending makes it almost impossible to forecast growth and inflation for 2017 and beyond. So don't anticipate major changes to the current Fed forecast or the dot plot suggestion there will be two more rate hikes next year. And while investors will look to Chair Janet Yellen's news conference for guidance, expect her to play it safe and talk about the Fed's view of the economy as it looks now rather than how it may evolve. The benchmark U.S. rate will be higher, but how quickly and how far the Fed moves after that won't be much clearer after this policy meeting. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak, Washington.
Appreciate it, Michael, and please join us for live coverage of the Fed's decision on Bloomberg Radio and Television today at 2 p.m. Wall Street time.
Johnson & Johnson has ended deal talks with Swiss drug maker Actelion, and Bloomberg's John Tucker is here live with more. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Karen, people familiar with the discussion say J&J had offered $27 billion for Actelion, but that wasn't good enough. With that courtship over, another potential suitor is moving in. People familiar with the matter say the new bidder is the French pharmaceutical giant Sanofi. Actelion is Europe's largest biotech firm. It's a leader in the treatment of pulmonary arterial hypertension. Well, interest in Actelion has emerged at a time of fierce competition among drug companies worldwide for new medicines and assets. Bob and Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And shares of Actelion are down more than 9% in Zurich.
And with trading underway in Europe this morning, we turn to Bloomberg's Mark Barton live from our London bureau for the very latest in the region. Good morning, Mark.
Hello, Bob and Karen. Italy's beleaguered lender Montepaschi confirming the ECB officially rejected its request to extend its $5 billion capital increase into January. The news raises the possibility of state intervention as time runs out to attract private investors. The ECB says moving the deadline to January the 20th wouldn't guarantee a more favourable market that might prompt banks to underwrite the share sale. The deadline for the capital boost remains December the 31st. Shares of German retailer Metro are surging after it forecast slight growth in sales and earnings as the German company prepares to split its MediaMarkt and Saturn electronics stores away from the cash and carry and Real food stores. And UK employment fell for the first time in more than a year in the 3 months through October as the labour market showed some signs of weakness. While the decline was small and the jobless rate was unchanged at 4.8%, the Statistics Office says the labour market appears to have flattened off in recent months. The latest data comes a day before the Bank of England announces its latest policy decision when it's widely forecast to keep its key interest rate unchanged at a record low 0.25%. Mark Barton, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Mark. And stocks in Asia ended the trading day slightly higher. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, Asian stocks held fairly steady on Wednesday ahead of the Fed's expected rate hike. About five stocks fell for every four that rose on the MSCI Asia Pacific Index. Australia's market was a standout, the ASX 200 hitting a four-month high. This is Tats Group soared following a consortium takeover bid for the gaming company, which trumps an earlier bid from rival Tabcorp. However, stocks in Shanghai slumped, down half of 1% on the close to 3,140. Data released after the bell showing November new lending in China jumped the most since March as the government pumped more credit into the financial system. The Hang Seng got a boost in Hong Kong thanks to a rally in energy producers. However, in Tokyo, the TOPIX halted a six-day advance to close flat, the nation's Tankan gauge of sentiment among large manufacturers coming in as expected for the fourth quarter. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Juliet. Here in the U.S., Hertz Global Holdings is replacing its chief executive after a string of earnings that missed estimates and a slump in its stock price. CEO John Tague will retire on January 2nd and be replaced by Catherine Marinello. Marinello is a former airline executive who joined Hertz 2 years ago in the wake of an accounting scandal. She most recently served as a senior advisor to Ares Capital Management.
And Goldman Sachs is naming successors to President Gary Cohn as he leaves the bank to join President-elect Donald Trump's administration. According to the Wall Street Journal, the firm plans to appoint Harvey Schwartz and David Solomon to succeed Cohn. Schwartz currently serves as chief financial officer at Goldman, while Solomon is the co-head of investment banking. Futures this morning are little changed. NYMEX crude oil lower, down 1.2% or 61 cents to $52.37 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up $4 to $11.63 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street this hour of Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Westchester Subaru. Visit westchestersubaru.com. Let's bring in Nathan Hager now with the very latest at home and around the world. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Bob. President-elect Donald Trump has taken his post-election thank you tour to Wisconsin, appearing alongside House Speaker Paul Ryan for only the second time since last month's victory over Hillary Clinton. And the president-elect predicts after he takes office, Ryan will be saying,
"We're winning all over, Mr. President. They just can't take it anymore." I say, "Paul, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You have to go back and tell them we're going to keep winning and winning and winning, whether they like it or not."
Though Trump admitted on election night he actually expected to lose based on polls that showed him behind in several key states. He says he intentionally rented a smaller hotel ballroom, even wrote a brief concession speech. But as the polls closed, that concession turned into celebration. At that rally in Wisconsin, Donald Trump also defended his pick to head the State Department, ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson.
"Rex will be a fierce advocate for America's interests around the world and has the insights and talents necessary to help reverse years of foreign policy blunders and disasters."
But Tillerson may be facing some conflicts of interest. Data compiled by Bloomberg government show ExxonMobil has won nearly $7 billion, that's billion with a B, in federal contracts since fiscal 2006, mainly to sell petroleum and other fuels, mostly to the Pentagon. That, along with his ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin, can add to a growing list of conflicts for Tillerson heading into Senate confirmation. The EU's biggest party has nominated Antonio Tajani to become the European Parliament's next president. Bloomberg's Jonathan Stearns with more on that.
The move on Tuesday evening sets up a battle with other parties over the successor to Martin Schulz of Germany. Tajani is an EU Parliament vice president and a relatively controversial figure because he's an ally of former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. Three other groups in the EU Parliament have put forward candidates for the presidency, with none holding an absolute majority. Expect maneuvering among the parties before a vote in mid-January. Jonathan Stearns, Bloomberg Daybreak, Strasbourg.
And a truce in the besieged Syrian city of Aleppo appears to have collapsed. Russia's defense ministry says Syrian rebels resumed hostilities at dawn, firing at a convoy due to leave with rebels who had agreed to be evacuated. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
Nathan, thanks very much. That brings us to 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. The Knicks were looking to go 3-0 on their Western road trip, but after wins at Sacramento and Los Angeles, they fell behind in Phoenix, trailed by 12 going to the fourth quarter. Rallied to force overtime, but beaten by the Suns 113-111. Can't blame Kristaps Porzingis. He poured in 34 points before fouling out. Kyle O'Quinn added 22 off the bench, but Carmelo Anthony shot just 3 of 15. And Derrick Rose had to sit out the last 43 minutes when back spasms resurfaced, and it'll be tougher for the Knicks tomorrow at Golden State. Warriors won last night. They are 22-4. At the Garden, the Rangers again sat Henrik Lundqvist. First time in his 11-year career he has been healthy and not played four consecutive games. Antti Raanta had won the previous three, two by shutout, but he gave up a goal second period to Chicago's Artem Anisimov. His 13th of the year, the Blackhawks beat the Rangers 2-1. In Brooklyn, Washington with two in the third, both by Matt Niskanen, his first two goals of the year. The Capitals topped the Islanders 4-2. College basketball, Villanova won the championship last year, 11-0 and ranked number one this year, 78-57 over Temple. Josh Hart with 26 points. The Giants are 9-4, but Eli Manning not having his best season. 13 interceptions, 4 fumbles. He's failed to get even to 200 passing yards in each of the last three games.
Yeah, I want to play better. So we just got to understand, hey, I know I can play well. I know I can, make the plays and get hot. It's just, we got to stand in there and make the plays. So, I'm going to keep working and go in every week confident that, I can go out there and have a great game.
See what happens Sunday. Giants host the Red Hot Lions, also 9-4. They've won 5 in a row. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. The Oakland Raiders have moved a step closer to getting a new stadium there as the team's hometown vies to stay that way. Keep the Raiders from moving to Las Vegas. The Oakland City Council has authorized the city to negotiate with an investment group to build a new facility. The move gives the group the right to work on a formal agreement for a $1.3 billion stadium that includes $350 billion in public money. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by the accountants and advisors at Eisner Amper. Your personal asset allocation strategy has many critical components. Do you have a good idea what they are? Ask the wealth advisors at Eisner Amper. EisnerAmper.com/asset allocation.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The Federal Reserve in focus today as we await an interest rate decision at 2 o'clock Wall Street time. Ahead of that, lots of economic data to digest. At 7, it's the weekly report on mortgage applications. And at 8:30, retail sales and the producer price index. At 9:15, we get a look at industrial production and capacity utilization. Then at 10, business inventories. Caution pervading the markets before the Federal Reserve's expected interest rate hike later today. And European stocks, they're dropping from an 11-month high. The dollar declining while government bonds climb. Crude is retreating on industry data showing U.S. stockpiles increased. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And U.S. stock index futures, they are little change. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.44%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 57 cents to $52.40 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $4.30 to $1,163.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.0636, the yen, 115.21. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Karen. Donald Trump says he was just as surprised as a lot of other people that he won the White House at his latest thank you tour stop in Wisconsin. The president-elect says he intentionally booked a smaller hotel ballroom on election night, thinking he would be giving a concession speech to Hillary Clinton. Some unexpected sad news in the world of entertainment. Alan Thicke has died, the dad from Growing Pains, real-life dad of singer Robin Thicke, writer of the Wheel of Fortune theme song, in case you didn't know. It was a heart attack. Alan Thicke was 69 years old. In sports, Knicks lose to the Suns in overtime. Warriors beat the Pelicans. Top-ranked Villanova beat Temple in college hoops. And on NHL ice, Islanders lose to the Capitals. Rangers drop one to the Blackhawks. The Sharks beat the Maple Leafs in a shootout. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Nathan, thanks very much. Same time last year, the talk was all about the likely outlook of 4 rate increases from the Federal Reserve in 2016, and we know that didn't happen. And now we all know or think we know what's going to happen today. What we're waiting to hear are clues to the pace of Fed tightening in the year ahead. Thamos Fiatakis is UK-based head of FX and rate strategy for UBS and joins us in London now. Good morning. Glad to have your insights today.
Good morning.
So it's
good to be here.
It's time to start parsing, I guess. What are you going to be looking for in the latest policy statement?
I think the most important thing here is not whether they hike or not. It's how they describe the path forward, whether they raise in aggregate the dots, whether they create an assessment that the growth outlook remains solid, whether they acknowledge the fact that the inflation outlook does not seem to be on the core breaking out, and whether how they assess financial conditions, very importantly, whether they dismiss the recent financial conditions tightening or whether they take stock of that.
Not whether they hike or not. If they didn't hike at this point when the market has done so much to price it in, what would happen?
Yeah, it's highly unlikely that going through a meeting, into a meeting where the market is basically saying that it's very reasonable that they hike, where the market has basically welcomed that even, where data has actually pointed that direction that they don't raise rates. I think it's fairly unlikely. Beyond what the market is pricing, the fact that the market is pricing that just raises the odds.
Well, what kind of dilemma has the Donald Trump election posed to Janet Yellen?
Yeah, a very important one. If you assume that for any reason, long-term growth rates improve as the equity and fixed income market has been pricing, you can reasonably assume that what is infamous by now called the R-star or the long-term neutral rate for the Fed is higher. And that means that their current stance may be a lot more accommodative than it was before under the assumption of stronger growth. So they have more room to catch up. That is a very important component in their own framework and in their own policy. But crucially, they need to see evidence of that. And it's not that easy to raise trend growth after all.
The Fed's 1.65% projection for 2015 core inflation was pretty far off. And the average fourth quarter coming in at 1.37%. Where do you see inflation headed?
The next year we'll see on the headline a very big normalization inflation owing to commodities, and more often than not, the headline improvement tends to translate to a higher level of core inflation as well across the board. Having said that, you have seen certain components, like, for instance, the dollar-driven components, given the recent dollar moves, are starting to come in on the softer side as well. So, you know, the inflation forecast on the core does not envisage a significant breakout from here. And perhaps a bit more importantly, policies on healthcare will matter a lot for the healthcare components of core PCE, which have been hovering at very low levels ever since sequestration.
We've heard so much for so long about the Fed being data-driven. At this point, what component is most important? Inflation, GDP growth, what?
I guess a combination of inflation, GDP growth, and financial conditions. On the GDP growth side, you have reasons to think that there's going to be a normalization from extremely low levels, but the average levels of GDP growth remain reasonably slow. The inflation side will see a normalization mostly due to the base effect and commodities, but still, it's a number of years that is realizing beyond central bank forecasts, so we need to be central banks need to be sure of that. And lastly, as you remember, this time around last year, the amount of pressure from financial markets was enough to make the Fed take a step back, because if that was to extend, it would risk the pace of the recovery. And you need to see markets remain unfazed by the increase in interest rates.
Very quickly, we have just about a half minute left here. Let me bring you back around to that question of what the pace of Fed tightening is going to be in the year ahead. How many, how much?
Probably a couple of hikes, probably within the year and probably towards the second half of the year, with the risk being slightly to the upside. But all depends, again, on how the economy reacts to higher yields.
Tamos Fiatakis is UK-based head of FX and rate strategy for UBS. Appreciate your insights this morning. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures down a single point. Less than a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis lower by 13 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures are unchanged at this hour. 10-year Treasury prices are up 9/32. The yield at 2.4386. The 2-year yield, 1.1577. And COMEX gold prices up a third of 1% to 1163.20. Daybreak brought to you by Maserati of Morris County. The Maserati of SUVs, the Maserati Levante, now available for immediate delivery. Enjoy a VIP shopping experience unlike any other. Test drive today, MaseratiMC.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by UNC Keenan Flagler's full-time MBA program. UNC Keenan Flagler, shaping leaders, driving results. Learn more at mba.unc.edu.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Johnson & Johnson has ended discussions for a potential deal with Actelion, narrowing the field in the bidding war for the $22 billion Swiss drug maker. According to people familiar with the matter, French pharmaceutical giant Sanofi is still pursuing a deal with the company. Actelion, for its part, says only that it's still in talks with another party. Shares of Actelion are down 9% in Zurich.
The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting today, where policymakers are expected to raise interest rates by 25 basis points. Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee is covering the story for us from Washington.
While a quarter-point rate hike to a range of half to three-quarters percent is practically a foregone conclusion, investors really want to see how policymakers change their 2017 forecasts. Don't bet on much. The election of Donald Trump changes everything. His call for tax cuts and infrastructure spending could have a big impact on monetary policy, but right now it's almost impossible to forecast growth and inflation, given that Trump has offered few details and it's not clear what Congress would approve. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak, New York.
Thank you, Michael, and join us for live analysis and insight into the Fed's decision on Bloomberg Radio and Television today. Our coverage begins at 1 p.m. Wall Street time.
Jeffrey Gundlach, chief investment officer of Double Line Capital, says interest rates may climb to 3% on 10-year treasuries by next year as deficits and inflation rise under a Donald Trump presidency. Speaking during a webcast, Gundlach says such a rise would affect market liquidity in corporate bonds and also have negative effects on stocks and the housing market.
Goldman Sachs is naming successors to President Gary Cohn as he leaves the bank to join President-elect Donald Trump's administration. According to the Wall Street Journal, the firm plans to appoint Harvey Schwartz and David Solomon to succeed Cohn. Schwartz currently serves as chief financial officer at Goldman, while Solomon is the co-head of investment banking.
Hertz Global Holdings is replacing its chief executive after a string of earnings that missed estimates and a slump in its stock price. CEO John Tagg will retire on January 2nd and be replaced with Catherine Marinello, a former airline executive who joined Hertz 2 years ago. Futures this morning, they are little changed. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, the yield 2.44%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% at $52.48 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street this hour of Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Mazda White Plains. Visit MazdaWhitePlains.com. The latest at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's Nathan Hager. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. Donald Trump is back on his post-election thank you tour.
I'm here today for one main reason, to say thank you to the people of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, one of the three states where Green Party nominee Jill Stein wanted recounts. Efforts the president-elect says were wasted.
We got 131 votes more than we had before.
But Trump also says he was as surprised as everyone else that he won on election night, telling the crowd in West Allis, Wisconsin, he intentionally booked a smaller hotel room based on polls showing him trailing in several key states. Now, as his transition continues, the president-elect is planning a tech summit this afternoon at Trump Tower with Silicon Valley leaders, many of whom supported Hillary Clinton. The CEOs of Apple, Google's Alphabet, Microsoft, and Amazon plan to be there. They hope to air concerns that as president, Trump could stifle innovation and curb hiring of tech-savvy immigrants. Russia's foreign ministry says Syrian rebels have broken a ceasefire that was meant to allow opposition fighters and civilians to leave the last remaining rebel part of eastern Aleppo. A legal advisor to Syria's opposition factions, though, points to Iranian fighters also backing the Syrian government for holding up the evacuation deal. Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, says new talks on Syria with the U.S., are pointless. 4 years ago today,
they had their entire lives ahead of them. Birthdays, graduations, weddings, kids of their own.
President Obama reacting to the massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. 20 children, 6 educators killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School. This morning, Newtown is marking that anniversary with a 15-minute moment of silence. And it's a sad morning in the world of entertainment. Actor Alan Thicke has died.
As long as we got each other.
The star of the 80s sitcom Growing Pains and the father of Blurred Lines singer Robin Thicke had a heart attack playing hockey with his son Carter. Alan Thicke, dead today at the age of 69. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Nathan. It is now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. A frustrating night for the Knicks, wasting one of the best of Kristaps Porzingis' career. He scored 34 points but wasn't around at the end, having fouled out. That left the last shot for Carmelo Anthony. He shot an air ball, ending his 3-for-15 night. Knicks lost in overtime in Phoenix, 113-111. Jeff Hornacek beaten by the team he played for and used to coach.
We had a chance at the regulation, and the play got broken up a little bit. So, you know, then you have to do that, we had some dumb turnovers, just silly ones that we can't afford to have. And, Bled just drove it in there and got some easy buckets on us.
That's Eric Bledsoe, who led the Suns with 31 points. He had 8 straight in overtime. A game with 6 technicals, including one on Porzingis, who got into a shoving match. Knicks 2-1 on this trip and at Golden State tomorrow. Warriors won last night in New Orleans. Cleveland beat the Grizzlies. Same two play tonight in Memphis, and the Cavs are not going to play any of their big three. LeBron James, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving all getting the night off. Hockey at the Garden. The ex-Ranger Artem Anisimov scored second period. That's where all the scoring took place. Chicago beat JT Miller and the Blue Shirts 2-1.
Good 2-1 hockey game. It seems to be really close every time we play each other. And so that was the case again tonight. So, you know, we had some looks and so did they. And it was tight checking and not many power plays. It was a good hard-fought game. We came out on the wrong end of it.
Two good scoring chances last 3 minutes and stops by the Hawks. Scott Darling, Antti Raanta again in goal for the Rangers. 4th straight game. Henrik Lundqvist, a healthy backup. Washington with 2 in the third beat the Islanders 4-2 for their 5th straight win. College hoops in Philly. Top-ranked Villanova down Temple 78-57. The defending national champs are 11-0. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
John, thank you. That brings us to 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Bob. A development site slated for a close to 1,000-foot condo tower on Manhattan's Far East Side has a new owner. Gamma Real Estate won the property in a bankruptcy auction with a credit bid of $86 million. Neighbors have opposed this tower, and they're seeking to have the city rezone the area to cap the height of residential buildings at 260 feet. Humana's CEO, Bruce Broussard, was the first defense witness in the government's antitrust case to stop the combination of insurance companies, Hartford-based Aetna and Louisville-based Humana. The Justice Department says the $37 billion deal would be harmful to seniors who are insured by the government's Medicare Advantage program. New Jersey's biggest utility owner says it's detecting and fixing bigger natural gas leaks using a Google Street View car that can find escaping fuel faster. Public Service Enterprise Group is using gas detection and mapping technology developed by Google, the Environmental Defense Fund, and Colorado State University.
That is your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thanks, Ed. HSBC Chairman Douglas Flint helped guide Europe's largest bank through a raft of new regulations over two decades. Now he sits down with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix to discuss financial regulation under President-elect Donald Trump. Let's listen into a portion of that conversation.
How much will President Trump, when he gets inaugurated January 20th, deregulate Wall Street?
No one knows. I don't think there's any chance anywhere in the world of regulation going back to light touch. I mean,
really?
That was not a good period. The banks don't want it. Our biggest risk is our industry. You know, so you do not want a part of the world where people are able to do things with much less capital than is economically advisable, because we're all exposed to each other. So light touch regulation and competing on who can have the lowest standards is a really, really bad form of banking. And I don't think it would happen. What we might see is some moderation of the reporting rules, which are onerous in terms of capacity and systems and so on. And there are multiple different ways of reporting around the world. We haven't got a harmonized set yet. We might see some relaxation of Volcker. That's what people talk about. Whether that's on his mind, I don't know. I guess he's got a lot of things to think about that wouldn't necessarily be first.
If it is on his mind, does it impact European banks?
I think Europe has to make a decision as to what kind of an investment banking capability if it wants, or whether it simply wants to import the skills that will exist in Wall Street and say, that's fine, we'd rather not have the risk of the activity if that's the way it's judged. I would think that would be a mistake.
And that is HSBC Chairman Douglas Flint speaking to Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. And a programming reminder again, join us for the live insight and analysis you expect from Bloomberg as the Fed makes its rate decision today on Bloomberg Radio and Television starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Bloomberg. And your Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are little change ahead of that Fed interest rate decision. The DAX in Germany's lower, down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.44%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 56 cents. And COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $4.40. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Nathan.
Karen, President-elect Donald Trump is holding a tech summit this afternoon at Trump Tower. The CEOs of Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, and also plan to attend. Actor Alan Thicke has died of a heart attack. The dad from Growing Pains, real-life dad of singer Robin Thicke, was 69 years old. Knicks lose to the Suns. Warriors beat the Pelicans. Islanders fall to the Caps. Rangers lose to the Blackhawks. And the Sharks beat the Maple Leafs in a shootout. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thanks, Nathan. Time for the Bloomberg ETF report brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. What makes revenue so smart? Find out at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. And here's Catherine Cowdery.
A survey shows professional investors have become more willing to embrace even the newest ETFs. Sean McNinch, Global Head of ETF Services at Brown Brothers Harriman, says their fourth annual survey indicates investors are not afraid to buy ETFs shortly after they launch.
About 75% of the investors are comfortable buying an active ETF with a track record of 3 years or less. And when you think about mutual fund managers, the typical benchmark for track record before investors buy is really 3 years.
175 financial advisors and institutional investors were polled for the survey, which was done in conjunction with ETF.com. According to McNinch, it reflects strong demand for smart beta ETFs.
About 97% of the investors plan to maintain or add to their smart beta positions from last year.
McNinch says a survey also shows that actively managed fixed income ETFs have gained favor for the third straight year. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
Thanks, Catherine. A group of activist investors is targeting big U.S. financial institutions, demanding they disclose compensation data for men and women and publish statistics about the race and gender of their employees.
We need to talk about it. On average, women are paid 21% less than men. We can ask for the same exact thing as that men do.
Actress Jennifer Lawrence speaking to Good Morning America about the gender pay gap after hacked emails at Sony Pictures Entertainment revealed female stars made less than their male counterparts. This, as a group of investors, has been doing its part to keep the conversation going. Arjuna Capital, Trillium Asset Management, and Pax World Management are asking big firms like Goldman Sachs and Bank of America to report the disparities in pay for male and female employees. Laura Colby wrote the story for Bloomberg News.
These are activist investors who are focusing on diversity. And last year, they did quite a few actions in the technology industry, asking companies to disclose the percentage of men and women at different levels of their companies, and also the gender pay gap. This is a huge issue for them. So this year, they are starting to file their shareholder proposals, and they are targeting the financial industry.
Boston-based Arjuna Capital filed proposals at Bank of America, Wells Fargo, American Express, Citigroup, BNY Mellon, and J.P. Morgan Chase. Natasha Lamb is a managing partner at Arjuna.
Whether it's big tech or big banks, there's a marked female talent gap. And many of the financial services companies actually have either 50% female representation or even a little bit more. But what you see across the board is that less than a third of women are actually in leadership positions. So you may have equal amounts of women in the general ranks, but as you move up the ladder, women are not well represented.
Julie Gordy, Senior Vice President for Sustainable Investing at Pax World Fund, says part of the reason is income inequality. A 2016 Glassdoor survey found a 6.4% gender pay gap in the financial industry, and that's one of the highest.
There's been some recent research that was done by Mercer that showed that the ability to retain female executives is more difficult in financial services because they're not paid equally. Female executives are 20 to 30% more likely to leave their employees in mid-career financial services than in any other industry. So this industry in particular is losing talent, mid-level and higher-level talent, at a rate that is higher than other industries, in part because of the lack of equality. That's one reason we focused on financial services this year.
Pax World Funds filed five resolutions on gender pay equity this fall, including one at Goldman Sachs and one at Bank of New York Mellon, which was co-filed with Arjuna. Gordy says one of the things they found is many of the companies they targeted are surprised to find their pay is not equitable.
So I think it really is important to measure it and to take steps to make sure that you do eliminate your pay gap. A lot of times it surprises you when you go in and you look at what people are paid and look at the qualifications and the job descriptions. You may find that you have one without meaning to have one. A lot of discrimination is actually unconscious bias.
And Arjuna's Natasha Lamb says this is about more than just being fair.
And whether you're looking at return on equity or stock price performance or profit margins, all of those have been shown to be better when there's more women in the top ranks.
Well, only a tiny proportion of shareholder proposals actually go to a vote and fewer pass. The activists aim to draw attention to the issue and get companies to engage with them. The investors did have success, by the way, when they targeted the technology industry, pushing Goliaths such as Apple and Intel to divulge information about pay gaps. Bob.
Karen, thank you very much. And now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Greg Stuhr discuss a Justice Department probe over currency rigging that's now being aided by several major banks. They speak to Robert Hockett, a professor at Cornell University Law School, and Bloomberg News reporter Tom Schoenberg.
Tom, what did we learn from these new court filings?
Sure. So what we saw in sentencing papers was that really kind of a first kind of public acknowledgement from the Justice Department that there's an active criminal conspiracy investigation into additional currency pairs in this currency rigging investigation the banks, the five banks that pled guilty last year to charges related to currency rigging. Those involved the euro and the U.S. dollar. What we see here is that additional currency pairs are being looked at, and that this probe is kind of being assisted by at least three of the banks who pled guilty last year.
Bob, when Loretta Lynch announced the guilty pleas, she said that there would be almost $3 billion in penalties. Now these three banks are cooperating with prosecutors, and they are going to be rewarded well for their cooperation. Tell us about what they're going to be facing when they're sentenced.
Well, it looks like what's being talked about now is reducing the fines by about anywhere between one-third and one-half. So from a bit over $1 billion in all cases, we'll get down to the hundreds of millions between basically $600 and $900 million.
Tom, of course, the judge doesn't have to accept that recommendation. It is below the federal sentencing guidelines. What, if any, indications do we have about how the judge up in Connecticut might be planning on handling this?
Well, we don't know, you know, exactly what he may do, but you know, what I find interesting is that these banks are kind of going to be sentenced all nearly at the same hearing. And UBS, which pled guilty to charges, that stemmed from that investigation, is being sentenced just a half hour prior. Also, we know that the government, you know, these are the fines that the government and the banks announced when all these banks pled guilty in May of 2015. So, in all the sort of filings between now and then, there's been no indication from the judge that he wouldn't accept that.
That's Robert Hockett, a professor at Cornell University Law School, and Bloomberg News reporter Tom Schoenberg speaking to Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Greg Storr. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And now among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, several pension funds are suing Wells Fargo over its fraudulent accounts scandal. Funds for the Chicago teachers and Detroit firefighters and police filed suit in a federal court in San Francisco. The suit says the phony accounts forced the bank's stock price down, hurting investors. Wells Fargo fired more than 5,000 employees linked to the scandal.
A subsidiary of ConAgra has agreed to settle a decade-long criminal investigation over salmonella in Peter Pan peanut butter. The company pleaded guilty and paid an $8 million fine. That's the largest fine ever paid in a food safety case. The company also forfeited another $3.2 million.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. Futures are little change this morning, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
Auto manufacturers would be required to equip all new cars and light trucks with vehicle-to-vehicle communication technology. Under a draft rule released by the Department of Transportation, officials say V2V capabilities could prevent up to 80% of crashes where the driver is not impaired. Walt Disney Parks and Resorts faces a second lawsuit by IT workers alleging they were terminated and their work outsourced to contractors with temporary visas. The suit involves 30 former employees. In October, a federal judge dismissed two similar complaints. And Pandora, Google Play, Apple Music, and other music streaming providers could win big if the Department of Justice persuades a federal appeals court to change a licensing rule. The change would mean licensing music from just one of the two major performance rights organizations, ASCAP or BMI, and potentially playing one against the other for a lower rate.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA Report. For more on these and other stories, visit BNA.com.